Reading again this week from 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. 2 weeks ago I said, and Merton. And Tom quite rightly asked me, why did you say Merton? Well, I suppose I should have answered him because there's not enough time for me to mention all the other places. All the other places where God's people are meeting today. Because you see, this word is for us as well. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or tests, though that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The title of the message today, if you are taking notes, is this: continue to look for Christ in his word, seeing it is given to you to see, rather than the angels. How many people would be so foolish to get onto their train, a particular train that they have booked a ticket for, to take them to a certain place, to get on their train and be content for it to remain at the station? We've all probably at some stage or another got on a train and we've been trying to meet some deadline, looking at a watch constantly, and the train's just not moving. It's delayed by something or other. But how many would be so content just to sit there? Endlessly just sit there. We're on the right train, but we're just sitting there. Yet it is a wonder how people can lay claim to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a child of God, and have absolutely no appetite. No appetite for knowing more of this Jesus. Many surveys are taken, are they not, throughout this country at different times. And people who lay claim to be believers, lay claim to be what is commonly called Christian. They have no appetite for the things of Christ. They're never seen amongst the people of God, worshipping God and indeed learning of God and learning more of Christ. Many who are not just what we call nominal believers, but those who are quite definite in their claim to be evangelical in their faith, to be born again. They would lay claim and they would indeed amen the things that we would say here of the gospel. But yet they pick and choose when to be around the word of God, if at all. Sometimes they could be missing for many months and then suddenly turn up. There are those who float from place to place. They're commonly called spiritual butterflies. We've had them here. They come and go. They come and tell us what we should be doing, what we're doing wrong and what we're not doing. And then they go, and then they come, and then they go. But they do this everywhere. They're never found truly learning of Christ. I must ask the question of everyone. I must ask the question of everyone, including myself. Do you know all there is to know? Do you know all there is to know of the Son of God? Do you know all there is to know? Yes, faith on the Lord Jesus. Faith on the Lord Jesus. We must not get this wrong. Faith on the Lord Jesus is all there is needed to receive the forgiveness of sins and know you have eternal life. That is absolutely right. John the Apostle says that, does he not? In John 20. These things they are written that you may know that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing on his name you may have eternal life. This is true. This is true. It's not by much knowledge that we come to know we are saved. It is simply by faith. Simply by faith. That's all you need. That's all you need to know. But there is much to know of Christ nonetheless. The Apostle Paul longed to know more. He knew Christ. He was the one who said, I know whom I have believed. I know him who I have believed. But he also told the church at Philippi, he told them that indeed he wants to know more of Christ, the excellency that is in Christ. As newborn babes, the people of God are told. God tells all believers as they embark upon this journey of faith. For that's what it is a journey. As they embark on this journey, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. But also the desire for the things of God, to know more of Christ, to know more of Christ, continues on with the believer, growing in this grace of God. God's word instructs us in 2 Peter 3:18, the apostle having already warned of being deceived by false teaching. He goes on to say, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's not unto salvation. That's unto establishing in the faith, unto assurance of faith, unto a greater walk with Christ. That's called discipleship. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen, he says. You see, when you look to this book of God, when you look to this book of God, the scriptures, the Holy Bible, His inspired, infallible word. Gaze. Gaze. Look and search in wonder. Search out Christ Jesus. Don't search for anything else. That is not what we are instructed to do. We search for him. And we search more for him. See him in every page of Scripture. Look for him every time you open your Bible. Pray that God would, by his Spirit, open up to you the very minds of his Scripture to see those jewels that lie within. See him and him only. And hear him and hear him only. He is the theme, the very sole subject of this book. That is why it is oh so sad that in these days you will find across this city, across this borough, across this country, so many places, and I'm not talking about those places that don't preach the word at all, I'm talking about those who would lay claim to be preaching the word of God, would even agree with us that this is the infallible word of God. They would even lay claim to believe the doctrines of grace as we do. But they are spending so much time, wasting so much time, looking at subjects. There is only one subject of this book. There is only one glorious one. There is only one who deserves to be the sole attention for us as we look at the Word of God. And that is the Son of God. We look at anything else, we are indeed robbing him of his glory. Our text today, as we continue on in the first epistle of Peter, is who is led of the Holy Spirit to write to scattered believers. It's found in verses 12 to 13. We will only scratch the surface of verse 13 this week. So much is in this portion of God's word. But we read, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Listen to this. Which things the angels desire to look into. Everything that you have heard and learned of Christ, everything that you have believed of Christ, this message of his everlasting love. Behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. This love that indeed sent the Son of God to that cruel cross to indeed bear the sins of his people in his body on the tree, where indeed God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This God, who was indeed this Son of God and Son of Man, who was indeed laid in that tomb, and 3 days and 3 nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, this God, this Son of God, who rose again gloriously and victoriously on the third day, who indeed ascended on high, is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. This message of his grace, this message of his mercy, that indeed the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This message the angels desire to look into. They were used to proclaim much of it, in part. But they knew. They cannot know. They cannot fully know. They cannot truly know what we are brought to know by faith. What a wonder that is. And so Peter goes on to say, therefore, considering these things then, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The first thing to see today from the Word of God is the very great privilege, the very great privilege. We keep stressing this and we'll keep stressing it. The great privilege of having the gospel, of having the gospel of God's free sovereign grace in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Having this gospel, knowing it and having it revealed to you. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 1, 23 to 25. He tells us that in the message of Christ and Him crucified is a great knowledge beyond any scholar of this world. Beyond any scholar in this world. And a dynamic force. The very greatest of armies in this world can only dream of. That's exactly what God is saying. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, to you if you are believing solely upon the Son of God for all your righteousness, unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. When the gospel comes, not only when it is preached, but when it is preached effectually, as the word calls it. Effectually, as in it achieves its end. It isn't just preached. It isn't just a good sermon, but it is effectual and it does what it came forth to do. It is heard within and it is revealed to the one listening who has ears to hear. And it is heard in the inner ear through faith. When this comes to pass, you have the very wisdom of God. And the very power of God revealed to you. Listen, the gospel revealed to you who believe on the Son of God for righteousness and peace with God. By His great substitutionary death and resurrection cannot, underline, cannot, will not and cannot be grasped by the angels of God. Whoever are lost in wonder and praise. Oh yes, the angels of God rejoice. They glorify God. They rejoice over one sinner that repenteth, but they know nothing of repentance. They cannot. You see, that's what God says here in His Word. We see 1 Peter 1 verse 12 again. Peter has already shown us that you who believe are granted. Granted to have the full revelation of Christ. We've got it. The whole revelation of Christ here. The whole revelation of Christ. Anyone else who has another revelation of Christ, so called, has a revelation of demons. They're not these angels of God who desire to look into, but they are the fallen angels. The deceiving angels. They will tell you of another Christ. But we have, in this gospel, preached to you the full revelation of Christ. only shown in part, remember, as we've seen already a couple of weeks ago, to the prophets. Shown in part, yet they believed. They trusted. But see another amazing statement about how you who belong to Christ, who belong to Christ, who belong to God, have blessed you with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. These things are not permitted to the angels. That's what God says. The things you have revealed to you in the gospel of Christ and have been granted by the gift of God, faith to believe. Which things the angels desire to look into. Now some have said that this might be alluding, this statement might be alluding to that type and figure fulfilled in Christ, that great type and figure in the Holy of Holies, first in the tabernacle and then later on in the temple, where indeed was the Ark of the Covenant overlaid with gold and the mercy seat, the golden laden mercy seat, and above the mercy seat the two cherubim and with their wings, and they look towards one another. Some people have said that this alludes to this, that because indeed that typifies and figures the great atoning sacrifice, Christ's propitiation that he achieved for his people, that indeed he was made that mercy seat to cover his people's sins, that the angels desired to look into these things. Whether this is so is conjecture. But nonetheless, they desire to look into these things. For this is a statement and a half, is it not? When we don't just read it and go past it and go to the next verse quickly, but when we ponder it, it is a statement and a half, is it not? The angels desire to look into it. These are not just mere men. They are angelic beings. They are not men. They are most powerful beings. They are flames of fire. They are indeed sent forth to minister, we're told in Hebrews 2, to them who shall be heirs of salvation. They are doing great works for God on behalf of God's people, unknown to God's people. We know very little of what the angels do. So we don't conjecture, but we do know that they are ministering spirits unto those who should be heirs of salvation. What does this mean? Maybe it could mean that indeed they are those who indeed protected and guarded you through those times in your life when you could have been in such harm before you even came to know the grace of God. I don't know. But they are indeed most powerful beings. And yet unto them is not permitted to gaze and truly know and see the wonders of salvation. You who are made wise unto salvation by the word of God, the word of life proclaimed to you in the gospel of God. In this context are wiser than the very angels of God Almighty. That is almost too much to take in. But secondly, the angels of God, you see, we see why they could never go further than just desire to look into and gaze into the things of salvation. The angels of God have no experience of God's grace and mercy. They have no experience of it. They had no need of it. They who proclaimed the great redemption in Christ Jesus desire to look into such things, but they are not theirs to see. Them who it is said of, with respect to Christ, the Son of God, when he shall come into the world, we've just read in Hebrews 1, and let all the angels of God worship him. They indeed cry out that he is who he is, the great Redeemer. They cry out that he is Son of God and Son of Man. They cry out that he indeed has redeemed his people. But know these things, they cannot. Them who cried out as a great multitude in the fields outside of Bethlehem, proclaiming the Saviour's birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You'd think from that great acclamation that they knew it, that they knew and comprehended salvation. You'd think that, wouldn't you, from that great acclamation. But it's not theirs to know. But I'm minded, even this very moment, as just pondering that, that this could well indeed be a picture of you who know not the gospel. And those who are found praising God, exalting God in praise and thanksgiving through the great hymns of praise of the gospel. They may know all the truth. They may love the truth. But be strangers to it. Desiring to look into these things but cannot. For it's only been permitted. It's only been permitted to the people of God. To those who are indeed the objects of his eternal delight. The elect of God, chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. To them and to them only, it's been permitted to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. That is why the Lord Jesus taught in parables. That's what he said. That's exactly what he said. Not what people say today. It wasn't just an example. The parables were given. He spoke in parables to them who it was not permitted to understand and to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That is exactly what he said. That seeing they may not see and hearing they may not hear. You don't hear that very often today. But that's what the Son of God said. What a privilege then is yours if you know these things. Them who strengthened Christ at his great time of need as a man. They came to him in his temptation, did they not? Yes, the angels who rolled the stone away. We see that there was an angel who rolled the stone away and sat on it. We see that there were two young men in the tomb when the disciples came. They were there at the empty tomb 3 days after the crucifixion of the Lord of glory and said to the disciples, boldly and confidently, why seek ye the living among the dead? They still desire to look into this. Of such things related to the great redemption achieved for God's elect at the cross, where he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that he might be made the righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. They can't know this. We can barely grasp it, but we do by faith. But they can't look into it. What do the angels know of such things? Very little. How can they, who never fell into sin, know of the joy of salvation revealed to us who believe? The Son of God partook of our flesh and blood, made a little lower than the angels. How do the angels long and desire to look into how the one they worship was made a little lower than they. We are told, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. They cannot even come close to that mystery. That God should send his Son to fulfill the law unto righteousness for his elect. How can they but wonder and desire to look into these words that we have recorded for us in Romans 8. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. They desire to look into this. But by faith we believe such things, and we know they're true. How they gaze in wonder, desiring to see more of what it means when Hebrews 2, 9 to 10 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, and he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. I can barely comprehend that statement, that he should taste death. But by God's complete revealed word, he brings us to an understanding of that. He brings us to a belief of that. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Such things are foolishness to the wise. They're a stumbling block to the religious. And the angels, the blessed angels of God, desire to look into it. Where is your desire? Where is your desire today? Do you desire to know more of Christ? Because God reveals more of Christ to you who desire it. Thirdly and lastly, what should you do, believer, with such wonders as God has shown us in the gospel of his grace? If the angels desire to look into such things, the angels desire to look into the things God has revealed by his Spirit to us in his word. And so Peter says, under inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, Therefore, considering such wonders not given to the angels, and yet to you, opened up in the gospel. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What do you make your mind ready with each day? What takes the attention of your mind each day, and my mind? What is that which indeed we feed our mind with? The picture here of girding up, as we see it in the New Testament, is of the clothing in the biblical day that was worn by people. The loose clothing was worn by people. And so they had to gird up their clothing. They had to gird up their clothing, needing to be pulled together, girded with a belt to enable travel, or to make ready for anything, for battle, for anything that they were to face. They needed to be ready, and they needed to make sure that they were girded. These believers were facing many troubles. These believers here, written to originally here, were facing many troubles and spiritual battles yet to come. All believers now are likewise. Face many troubles and will face many troubles and will know many spiritual battles. We must be girded. But praise God, we have that which we need to be girded. What is it that equips you to face all things? The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, does he not, that indeed all scripture is breathed out of God. It's inspired of God. It's given by inspiration of God. And what does he say at the end? He says that the man of God may be fully equipped unto every good work. Fully equipped. Fully equipped. Fully furnished. That which equips you to face all things. This confidence of what you have been taught in the gospel is that which equips you. For that is what the apostle is referring back to again and again. These things he's reminded these people of their great blessings in the gospel, their great blessings in Christ, that these things have been fully revealed to them and they are theirs now. And it is the hope of their salvation is theirs now. They lay hold on these things. Do you remember I said to you earlier on, before we began the ministry this morning, that Hebrews chapter 1, you should keep these words in mind. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, ought we to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Give earnest heed to the things that you have heard. We should never be bored with hearing the gospel. I've heard people say, I can't come to this church anymore because all you do is preach the gospel. Why don't you go to a Buddhist temple then? This was a professing believer. How can you tire of the doctrines of the gospel? This is what holds us together, that girds us. That you are saved and have come to the knowledge of the truth. This truth is the belt that girds you, that holds and equips you and girds up the mind. Ephesians 6, in that great passage on the armour of God that we must put on, speaks of a girding of a belt around the waist, gives the picture of the waist. But the same picture is here of the word of God, of that which you have been taught, the truth, the belt of truth, the belt of truth, not just about the truth, but him who is the truth, Christ, the truth. Gird up your mind, Christ in you. Such gospel truths that you have been brought to know that angels can only desire to look into. That's as far as they can go, to desire to look into. They are yours, child of God. They belong to you. So continually look to them. The things of Christ in his word. Don't be content to just sit still and go nowhere. Gird up and protect your mind with the truth. Look continually for Christ Jesus in all the scriptures. If you love someone, you will continually look for them. And if they go from view, you're continually looking for them. Just read the Song of Solomon. Where is my love? Colossians 3:1-3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Do you have such an appetite? Do you have such an appetite to know more of this Redeemer? Well, you know, the angels of God, they desire to know what you know and what you have revealed to you and more of what you will know in the Word of God. They desire to know what you have revealed in this Word. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? I'll tell you one more wonder. One more wonder that the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 3. Listen to these words. Grasp them if you can. If you have heard, verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, would how that by revelation he have made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Wherefore, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is the glorious, one of the glorious things that is spoken of Zion City, of our God, the church of the living God. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. We are to make this mystery known in all the world. But that's not all. That's not all. For see, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Child of God, if you be a child of God, the angels, no wonder they rejoice. Somehow, although they gaze in wonderment to know more of these things, they look upon trophies of God's grace and they see in you who are saved the mystery, the very wisdom of God. The church makes known to the angelic beings the gospel. If God show you now by faith his Son in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he gave himself on that cross, a ransom for many, the very wisdom of God. If he show you it now, believe on the Son of God, please believe on the Son of God. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation. Such things the angels desire to look into. Ahem.